Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke chapter 4 says this about Jesus. He went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and as he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. His word possessed authority. Now, how many of you are watching the Super Bowl this afternoon? A couple of you, at least, maybe a few. And in the Super Bowl, we sometimes have what we call armchair quarterbacks. They're sitting there in their chair, and they're looking at the TV screen, and they're trying to call the plays, and they're frustrated when this team just doesn't listen to their ideas from the armchair. Maybe you've been the armchair quarterback or the armchair player saying, come on, team, go that way, do this, do it. You should have run instead of passed, whatever it is. But you see, your word doesn't have authority in the game of football. Unlike somebody like Tom Brady, the quarterback for the Patriots, or Jared Goff of the Rams, when they get into the huddle, the team listens. When they get into the huddle and they speak the words about the play, the team says, okay, this is what we're going to do, and break. And they go off because the quarterback's word has authority, unlike you in the armchair. Your word does not have authority in that situation. Words having authority. As we are in a society with a lot of different ideas, a lot of different opinions, a lot of different so-called authority figures, what truly gives words of authority? What gives your word any kind of meaning as you're talking with that neighbor about the Lord and they have a difference of opinion? What gives your word meaning when you're in a particular situation out in the world with all the different ideas and people claiming authority? Well, if we try to rely upon our own words, our own authority, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. However, today what I'd like to do is focus on the one who has words of authority, that is Jesus Christ. And I want to look at the gospel lesson today and look at Jesus' words of authority and talk about the implication for our lives today. Luke chapter 4:31, Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and as he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. This is different than what we experienced in last week's reading. Last week's reading, we hear about Jesus who is speaking at a synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown. It started off pretty well. They seemed kind of impressed by his words, but as he continued going, as he spoke words of rebuke, they did not like what he had to say. And if you recall, they then pushed him out, and they wanted to push him off a cliff. But it says that Jesus walked through the crowd. Today, however, we hear Jesus in the city of Capernaum, which is in the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. He spent a lot of time there in his ministry. And as Jesus was there in this particular synagogue, by the way, a synagogue was a place where the word, the scriptures were being studied. Jesus spoke, and the people noticed that he spoke with authority. Now, you see, the people were used to different scribes and individuals who would read from the scriptures, and then they would quote various rabbis and various interpretations and say, well, according to so-and-so, this is what this means, and according to so-and-so, this is what this means. But when Jesus spoke, he didn't need to do that. When Jesus spoke, his words had authority, and the people were astonished. They were amazed. And then comes along a demon-possessed guy. In the middle of this, we have a bit of an issue. Luke chapter 4:32, it says, in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Here is Jesus expounding upon the scriptures, and this demon comes in and starts hogging the attention, starts crying out, I know who this Jesus is. Jesus didn't want a demon to be telling people who he was. Remember, at one point the Pharisees accused Jesus of doing his miracles by the power of Satan? Jesus wanted nothing to do with Satan. And Jesus didn't need some demon to tell who he was and to distract from what Jesus was doing, from the teaching that was going on in the synagogue. So Jesus did something about it. It says in Luke chapter 4:35, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." This must have been an amazing experience for them. Jesus is teaching, this demon comes in, distracts things, but then Jesus basically says, "Muzzle yourself. Shut up." That's the implication of the words that Jesus used. Like you would say to an annoying animal that is not listening to you, "Shut up, muzzle yourself, be quiet." And this demon can't but obey. Comes out of the man, makes a little ruckus, and then is out of there. And what we see here revealed in this text is Jesus' words have authority. The people were amazed that he spoke with authority. He didn't need the interpretations of rabbis. His word had authority. And to cast out a demon, his word had authority. No formulas, no magic spells. Jesus went, boom, shut up, get out of here. And the demon was gone. And as we continue to march our way through the season of Epiphany, that word epiphany means to reveal, we see something revealed about Jesus, that Jesus has words of authority to speak truth and also to cast out the powers of darkness. After all, this is the one sent to deliver us from the power of sin, from the power of death, and from the stronghold of Satan, the old evil foe. And Jesus has come in to cast out from the place of learning, to cast out from this place where the scriptures are studied, to cast out the old evil foe, the truth. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life has prevailed over the darkness of this demon. But there's more in this text about the authority of Jesus' word. Luke chapter 4:37, "And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region, and he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them." Now Simon, we gather, is married, and he has his mother-in-law, and he's being caring about her. He's concerned about her. She's got, as Luke would describe, a mega fever. That's the words used, a mega fever, a great fever. This is not just, you know, something that you say, "Oh, well, you got the sniffles, you'll be okay." This was a big deal. But they had Jesus there, and Jesus did something about the situation. I love how it says, and he rebuked the fever, right? He told the demon, first of all, just shut up, get out of here. And then he speaks to the fever. Again, no potions, no magic formulas, no long list of prescriptions, but basically, go away, fever. And the fever is gone. Again, Jesus' words have authority. Luke chapter 4, verse 40 says, "And when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." And also it talks about him casting out more demons. And what we see here is a fulfillment of what Jesus had spoken in the other synagogue previously. Remember, in Nazareth, he quoted from Isaiah chapter 61, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has been anointed to bring liberty to the captive, sight to the blind, healing and restoration." And we see this, that Jesus is carrying out this by his word of authority. People are being healed. People are being liberated. Those that are in bondage are being freed. Because Jesus' words have authority. But notice that Jesus' sole purpose when he came in their midst was not merely to heal. Because from what we gather, not everybody in the area, not everybody in the world during Jesus' time was actually healed. Well, we might ask ourselves why that was. But Jesus' purpose was to point to what he was going to do on a broad scale. Jesus's miracles pointed to who he was as the deliverer, as the Messiah. For Jesus' mission was still to go to the cross. He was going to bring ultimate restoration by the cross and the empty tomb. And because of that, we have hope and we have life. when Jesus sent out the disciples after Pentecost, when the disciples went out, there were miracles and signs and wonders that were done, yes, but accompanied with those was the preaching of the good news of the restoration and the hope in Christ. Luke chapter 4:42 speaks about our Lord, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So in our day, we have the continuation of the authority of God's word because our Savior Jesus, who died for you, is risen from the grave and he is with us. He gives us his word. And as we are here in this society, we have words of authority that we can lean upon, that we can have as our foundation. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, there are a lot of different words, voices that claim authority. There are popular people, musicians, artists, who have a huge following because they're popular, and people automatically think that their words have some kind of authority because of that emotional pull that is given. There are others who are in various universities and campuses who claim to have words of authority. In various places, there are people with all kinds of differing ideas that claim words of authority. But what is our basis for speaking? What is our basis for truth? It dare not be your own words. It dare not be your own clever or not so clever ideas. But rather, we have been given as the church, as the body of Christ, the words of authority found in the scriptures. I like what Martin Luther said when he was at the Diet of Worms. You might recall these famous words. Unless I am convicted by Scripture and plain reason, I dare not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. Martin Luther wasn't relying on his cleverness, on his intellect, but he says, I stand here on the word of God, so help me God. I like what Martin Luther also says. He says, quote, a simple layman armed with scripture is greater than the mightiest pope without it. A simple layman armed with scripture is greater than the mightiest pope without it. Your words, my words, they don't mean much, but when our words are in congruency with the Word of God, when we claim the Word of God as the authority, then the words mean something. Then they have authority and power. It is so, so important that the church has its foundation in the Word of God. I can stand up here and say a bunch of stuff, but if what I say is not in line with the Word of God, that's a huge problem. You need to kick me out of this pulpit. The church needs to stand upon the authority of God's Word. Otherwise, if that foundation is removed, anything and everything else will come into the church. And we see that in our day and age. Sadly, there are situations where the Word of God has been removed or well, it's a nice thing. It's got some nice wisdom. It gets pushed to the side and any and everything creeps into the church. All kinds of immorality with the cloak of inclusiveness. And then without the Word of God, any good crumbles. And then a hurting and a world that is tormented by the struggles of Satan and sin have nothing. If we don't stand upon the Word of God and the truth of Scripture, then we might as well close our doors and go home. From what we call the Lutheran Confessions, these are words which speak about the importance of the Word of God. It says this, quote, the Word of God is and should remain the sole rule and norm of all doctrine, of all teaching. Quote, we pledge ourselves to the prophetic and apostolic writings of the Old and New Testaments as the pure and clear foundation, fountain of Israel, which is the only true norm according to which all teachers and teachings are to be judged. Quote, no human being's writings dare be put on par with it, but everything must be subjected to it. With that foundation, however, we have some incredible news. The words of the scriptures, which change hearts and lives, which have meaning and purpose for a society that is desperately in need of hope. Now, the word is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4 speaks about the word with these amazing words. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and no creature is hidden from it, is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The word is something that can be very uncomfortable. Last week we talked about law and we talked about gospel. We talked about the law which shows us our sin, which reveals and exposes that we cannot stand before a holy and righteous God. But then the gospel, the good news, shows us our Savior, shows us that we have one who has stood in our stead, who is an advocate for us, who is the one who declares in his blood that you are forgiven, that you are righteous, that you are holy in the blood of Christ. Romans chapter 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. And in our service, I like how the word of God is spoken throughout the entire liturgy. You'll notice the little scripture quotations that are on next to the different parts of the service, and even at the beginning with the confession and absolution, that is based on Christ's words. And when I stand there and I proclaim the forgiveness of God, this is not from Dallas, but this is in the stead and by the command of Jesus. And it is by his words that you are forgiven. It is the word of God that gives baptism its power. It is the word of God that makes the Lord's Supper what it is. It is the word of God which brings life and which sets you free. As one of the hymns that we're going to sing says, thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness. Glorious now we press toward glory, and our lives our hopes confess. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee who light dost send. Alleluia, alleluia, without end. Now, as you are facing the struggles of this life, you're going to come across the old evil foe, Satan. I'm sure you've experienced moments of struggle, of darkness, of temptation, of difficulty. And again, if you come before these situations in your own strength, you're in trouble. There's no way that you're going to win. How many of you remember the old Disney movie called The Ugliest Dachshund? It's a little bit obscure. A couple of you remember The Ugliest Dachshund. Dean Jones is one of the main characters. I love that movie. And long story short, he's got a bunch of dachshunds, but he gets this puppy, this Great Dane puppy, and the Great Dane puppy thinks he's a dachshund. It's kind of adorable until the Great Dane grows up into a big Great Dane and is all without discipline. In this one particular scene, Dean Jones has Brutus, as the dog is called, and he's trying to train Brutus. And he holds onto the leash, and he says, heel, Brutus! But Brutus won't listen, and instead goes wandering off and creates a disaster. A disaster. Dean Jones tried to control the dog, Brutus, but the dog did whatever the dog wanted to do. If you try to fight with Satan, using your own words, it will be a mess because you will not have the authority to speak against Satan. He's got lots of years of practice, way longer than you have been alive, and he's devious. He'll twist the truth. He takes the scriptures and he twists them. He starts pointing at your faults, the things you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and he pokes at you and reminds you that you're just a horrible person. Or he'll make something that looks something that's bad looks so enticing and so good. But my friends, we don't need to rely upon our own words or our own strength when we're fighting against Satan, because we have the authority of God's word. Then Satan hightails it out of there. Another hymn that we're going to sing today, A Mighty Fortress, verse 3 says, though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done, one little word can fell him. One little word can fell him. Ephesians 6 speaks of this. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you can tell Satan where to go, because you have the authority of God's word. Not your own authority, but the strength of God's word. And as you go out into this world, a hurting world, a struggling world, as you go to proclaim the message of the good news, you don't need to be afraid, because it's not about your cleverness, not about your fancy words and talking to someone about the Savior, but rather it's about the word of the Lord. Even that simple phrase, Jesus loves me, based in the scriptures, is something powerful because it's based in the authority of God's word. So go forth in the strength of the Lord. Don't be afraid, but stand firm in the authority of God's word. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.